Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts open and expectant, ready to receive what you have for us today. Thank you for the gift of your word, living, active, and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Through it, you reveal yourself to us, instruct us in righteousness, and transform our hearts and our minds. Lord, I ask for your anointing as I bring your message. May every word spoken be guided by your Spirit, filled with truth, grace, and power. Let it not be my voice that is heard, but yours, Lord. Speak to us, convict us where we need to be convicted, encourage us where we need to be encouraged, and strengthen us where we need to be strengthened. Prepare our hearts, Lord. Remove the distractions. Soften the hardened hearts and open our ears to hear what you are saying. May we not just be hearers of the word, but doers also, living out the truth that we receive today. Holy Spirit, move in this place. Have your way among us. May your word accomplish all that you intend, bringing salvation, healing, renewal, and transformation. Above all, may Jesus Christ be glorified in everything that is said and done. We give this time to you, Lord. Speak, for your servants are listening. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 In our fast-paced world, busyness is often seen as a sign of success. But if we're so busy working for good causes that we neglect, my question is, what if we are so busy working for those good causes that we neglect time with God? William Wilberforce, the British politician who led the fight to end the slave trade, knew this struggle well. He was a highly influential political leader in the 18th and 19th century in England. He served in Parliament for over 40 years, tirelessly advocating for the abolition of slavery and other social reforms. His schedule was packed with political responsibilities, meetings, correspondence, and public speaking engagements. And beyond that, he was deeply involved in charitable work, supporting education, prison reform, and missionary efforts. With so many demands on his time, it would have been easy for Wilberforce to let his work overshadow his relationship with God. However, he was intentional about prioritizing his faith. He spent significant time in prayer and scripture daily, recognizing that his strength and wisdom came from God. In his personal writings, he reflected on the temptation to be consumed by work and repeatedly reminded himself that without staying spiritually anchored, his efforts would be empty. Despite his incredible workload and noble causes, Wilberforce understood that his ultimate calling was to love and honor God. First, before anything else, to love and honor God first. His deep faith gave him the perseverance to continue his abolitionist fight for over 20 years until the slave trade was finally abolished in 1807. Like Wilberforce, many of us fill our schedules with important work, jobs, ministries, and social causes. But if we're not careful, even good things can become distractions from our relationship with God. Wilberforce teaches us that true impact comes from a life centered on Christ. Are you so busy working for God that you forget to spend time with Him? In our fast-paced world, busyness is often seen as a badge of honor. We fill our schedules with work, with family, ministry, and social obligations, believing that productivity equates to purpose. But what if our greatest danger isn't immorality or failure, but distraction? The story of Mary and Martha that we talked about last week, I'm going to bring it up again. In Luke 10, verses 38 to 42, it presents a striking contrast. One woman overwhelmed by tasks and another fully present with Jesus. A powerful example of this struggle. It looks like I've got this written twice, but you know what? I'm just going to go over it. But like Martha, so Mary, she chose the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And Martha, we often become consumed with good things like she did, right? Yet Jesus reminds us that the best thing is time in His presence. You see, we don't have to be busy doing all those other things. We need to be at the feet of Jesus. We need to be giving our devotion to Him, not to these other things in the world. Matthew 6:33 that Nanette read a little while ago, seek first God's kingdom, right? Seek first God's kingdom, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Wilberforce could have let his mission consume him, but he chose to seek God first, trusting that He would take care of everything else. Psalm 127, 1 through 2. Work without God is in vain. Okay? Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for He gives to His beloved. This passage warns us against exhausting ourselves in work while neglecting God, reminding us that true success comes only when He is at the center. Like Wilberforce, we may be involved in meaningful and important work, but if our busyness crowds out time with Jesus, we risk burnout and spiritual emptiness. Have we mistaken productivity for spiritual health? Are we so busy doing things for Jesus that we forget to be with Him? Psalm 46:10 reminds us, be still. Be still. Many of us have an issue with that, right? Be still. I know I do. I get distracted real easily. Sometimes I think I have ADD. It's very easy to get distracted. Be still and know that I am God, it says. Now, some of you might say, well, stillness, that's being lazy. No, it's not. Stillness is not laziness. It's an intentional focus on God. Intentional focus. Today, we're going to explore three key aspects of overcoming the idol of busyness. The distraction of busyness, the necessity of stillness, and finally, the call to intentionality. First, the distraction of busyness. See, even good things can pull us away from God. Martha's distraction was not sinful in itself. Good, you know, serving others is a good and honorable thing. And that's what she was preparing to do. She was preparing a meal, getting things ready in the kitchen, right? But the danger comes when our work, even in ministry, takes priority over our relationship with Jesus. When you put your work before Jesus, that's a problem. This is a subtle trap of busyness. We assume that if we are productive, we must be spiritually healthy. But Jesus measures our devotion not by how much we do, but by how close we are to Him. When we let busyness crowd out intimacy with Christ, we risk losing sight of the very one that we claim to serve. In our culture, busyness is often equated with importance. People boast about packed schedules and sleepless nights as if exhaustion is a sign of significance. But when we constantly run on empty, we become spiritually dry and ineffective. Jesus did not rebuke Martha for serving, but for allowing her service to become a source of worry and distraction. The same thing happens when we put our identity in our work instead of in Christ. Even churches can fall into this trap. It is possible to be busy with ministry programs, events, and outreach while neglecting personal prayer and devotion. This is why Jesus' words to Martha are so crucial. He gently reminds her that the one thing that's necessary is time with Him. We must ask ourselves this. Are we more focused on doing things for Jesus than being with Him? Have we confused activity with intimacy? A key sign of misplaced priorities is when our service for God leads to stress rather than joy. Martha's frustration was evident in her complaint. She said in Luke 10, verse 40, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself?" See, when we serve from a place of distraction rather than devotion, we become resentful and bitter. Jesus' response is an invitation, not a condemnation. He wants Martha and us to experience peace instead of pressure. Second, the necessity of stillness. Being with Jesus is more important than doing for Jesus. So stillness before God is not about inactivity, but about focus. I told you guys I picked a word this year that I'm really committed to. And that's what my word is focus. And every day I wake up, I see that word on my phone. I have it right on the very first part. It says focus, focus. So if I pick up my phone to do something other than my devotions, I need to focus. And where do I need to put my focus first? On Him. This has helped me, okay? See, Mary understood something that Martha didn't hear. Jesus was the most important thing in the room. The most important thing. She wasn't lazy. You know what you call that? Intentional. She was intentional. Sitting at Jesus' feet signified humility, a desire to learn, and an eagerness to listen. In contrast, Martha's service, though well-intentioned, kept her from hearing His words. This passage challenges us to ask this question: are we more like Mary, fully present with Jesus, or like Martha, distracted by our responsibilities? We live in a world that prizes hustle over rest. But the Bible repeatedly calls us to slow down and be still. Psalm 46:10 doesn't suggest stillness as an option, but as a command. Be still. Doesn't say, if you feel like it, you can either be still or do something else. Does it? It says, be still. Pretty clear. And know that I am God. God speaks most clearly when we quiet our hearts and eliminate the distractions. Yet we often fill every free moment with noise, scrolling on our phones, multitasking, or rushing from one task to the next. Could it be that we don't hear God because we never pause to listen? The story of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19 reminds us that God is not always in the loud, dramatic moments. I know I've been asked many times, if I've ever heard God's voice. Yes, I have. And it's not booming like many people think. It's the quiet, still, small voice. And you need to have the distractions out of the way in order to hear that. See, Elijah expected God in the wind in that story, or the earthquake and the fire, but God came in a gentle whisper. Similarly, we may look for God in grand experiences, conferences, revivals, or miracles. When He is calling us to simply be with Him in daily quiet moments. How often do we miss the gentle whisper of the Spirit because we're too distracted? Practicing stillness requires discipline. It requires discipline. It means carving out time to pray, to read Scripture and to sit in God's presence. Susanna Wesley, the mother of John Wesley, found her way by pulling an apron over her head in a house full of children. I don't know if you've ever tried to pray when kids are crying and screaming. And when I was at the church down in West Valley, we had lots of little kids. And I had someone come up to me afterwards, said, "Pastor Brad, how do you continue to pray through all of this?" "Through all what?" The screaming and the crying and the, "Oh, was that going on?" They're like, "You didn't hear that?" I said, "I'm not focused on that. I'm focused on God. I'm focused on Him. That's where my focus needs to be." So Susanna Wesley, I mean, she just pulls over her apron, you know? But we may not need an apron, but we need intentionality, okay? Whether it's early in the morning, during a lunch break, or before bed, making space for God is essential. When we prioritize stillness, we find that His peace replaces our anxiety, and His voice becomes clearer than the noise of life. And third, I want to talk about the call to intentionality. Make time for God. Make time for God. Don't just fit Him into your schedule. Make time for Him. Prioritizing Jesus in our daily lives doesn't happen by accident. It requires intentionality. Martha's problem wasn't that she was working, but that her work took priority over Jesus. Jesus said, "Only one thing is necessary," in Luke 10:42. Only one thing is necessary. Reminded us that nothing should take precedence over our relationship with Him. If we aren't careful, even good things, our jobs, our families, and our ministries, can take the place of the one necessary thing. Daniel gives us a powerful example of intentional devotion. Despite holding a high government position in Babylon, he prayed 3 times a day without fail. If you want to look that up, it's in Daniel 6:10. He didn't let his responsibilities crowd out his time with God. His consistency sustained him through trials, including the lion's den. Now, if Daniel, under immense pressure, could maintain his spiritual discipline, then guess what? We have no excuse for neglecting our own. John Wesley's structured method of devotion, daily prayer, scripture reading, and self-examination helped spark a revival. He understood that faith thrives when when nurtured daily. Similarly, Dwight L. Moody warned against relying on past spiritual experiences. A man can no more take in a supply of grace for the future than he can eat enough today to last 6 months. We need daily renewal in God's presence. Daily renewal. In the film Chariots of Fire, Eric Little, a devout Christian and an Olympic runner, was faced with a difficult choice when he realizes that one of his races is scheduled on a Sunday, a day that he is committed to honoring God. Despite immense pressure, he chooses to prioritize his faith over competition. Later, he gives a famous quote. He said this, "When I run, I feel His pleasure." Eric Liddell, or I keep pronouncing his name wrong, Eric Little, because it's L-I-D-D-E-L-L. And I always want to say Liddell. It's Little. Eric Little was one of the fastest runners in the world. But he understood that life wasn't just about achievement. It was about honoring God. He had to make a choice between busyness and faithfulness. So like Eric Little, we have to make intentional choices to put God first. The world constantly pushes us to run faster, to do more, and fill our schedules. But God calls us to slow down and focus on Him. If we don't, we'll end up exhausted and spiritually empty. What choices do we need to make to put Jesus first in our daily lives? Being intentional means setting aside undistracted time with God. One practical step is to schedule time with Him as we do other priorities. Some find that early mornings work best, like me. I love early mornings. It's quiet. Nobody else is up. I can't get up that early. Go to bed earlier. There is solutions for that. Go to bed earlier, rise up earlier, right? And technology often a source of distraction can also help. Bible apps, prayer reminders, and worship playlists can keep us spiritually engaged. Ultimately, making time for God isn't about adding another task to our to-do list. It's about recognizing that without Him, all our tasks are meaningless. So the story of Mary and Martha really teaches us that even good things can become distractions if they take the place of Jesus. You know, one of the things I wanted to mention, I know a few years back, just after Nanette and I got married, Nanette worked for Cars. Some of you may remember Cars. Cars Gottsteins. They owned the supermarket, which is, well, I don't even know if they had Cars here, but now it's Safeway. did they have Cars?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so she worked for Cars, and back then in their employee handbook, they did give Sundays off to Seventh-day Adventists, Saturdays. They gave Saturdays off for Seventh-day Adventists. Okay. And I was like, well, that's not fair. I said, and she goes, yeah, you're right. I said, we talked about it, we prayed about it. And she brought it before them and said, I want Sundays off. I'm a practicing Christian, and I need to be worshiping God on that day. You give the Seventh-day Adventist Saturday off, so I should be able to have Sundays off. Guess what? She got Sundays off. You got to be bold. I'm going to tell you, if you're a little afraid and scared, you know, the thing is, God says to take courage. You need courage. God will give it to you. Be bold. Ask the tough questions. Don't be afraid. But see, Martha's busyness led to frustration. She was frustrated. You could tell in her voice and what she said. While Mary's stillness led to fulfillment. You notice Mary didn't come back with anything, right? She didn't say, but. She didn't have to. She knew where she was supposed to be. The same is true for us. When we prioritize time with Christ, we find peace, we find clarity, and we find joy. But if we allow busyness to dictate our lives, we will end up burnt out and spiritually empty. Imagine a married couple so consumed with responsibilities that they rarely spend time together. They handle bills, raise the children, and manage schedules, but the relationship suffers. You know, I truly believe, and I know many people have said this, I've seen Christians get divorced before. Well, I wonder why. I wonder why. Are they spending time with Jesus? Or are they too wrapped up in everything else? Over time, you know, this couple becomes distant. Not because they stop loving each other, but because they stop prioritizing their connection. This is what happens in our walk with Christ. When we let the busyness in our lives replace time with Him. If we're too busy for God, we're too busy. We're too busy. If we're too busy for God, we're too busy. No success, no accomplishment, no act of service is more important than being with Jesus. The world will always demand our time, but only one thing is truly necessary: our relationship with Him. He doesn't just want our work, He wants our hearts. So this week, I want to leave you with this challenge. Take an honest look at your schedule, at your entire schedule. Take a look at it. Where has busyness crowded out God? Choose one step, whether waking up 15 minutes earlier to pray, turning off your phone for a quiet time, or setting a daily reminder to pause and reflect. See, mine's right on my phone. As soon as I pick it up, there it is, focus. And I know the first thing I need to focus on is God Himself. Like Mary, may we choose the good portion, the one thing that will never be taken away. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before You grateful for the truth of Your word that has been spoken today. Thank You for reminding us that while the world calls us to endless activity, You call us to abide in You. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we have allowed busyness, even in good things, to take priority over our relationship with You. Help us, like Mary, to choose the one thing that is necessary, to sit at Your feet, to listen to Your voice, and find our rest in You. May we not just hear this message, but live it out, making space for You in the midst of our schedules. Teach us to seek first Your kingdom, trusting that all other things will fall into place when You are at the center. Holy Spirit, guide us in the coming days when distractions threaten to consume us. Draw us back to stillness in Your presence. When our work becomes an idol, remind us that apart from You, we can do nothing. Let our service be fueled not by obligation or exhaustion, but by intimacy with You. Go with us now. Renewing our minds, refreshing our spirits, and realigning our hearts to what matters most. We give you all the glory, the honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. May you walk in his grace, not driven by busyness, but by his Spirit. May you find rest in his presence, strength in his love, and joy in knowing him. Go in the love of the Father, the peace of Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you all.